Welcome to Women Worth Knowing, the radio program and podcast hosted by Cheryl Broderson and Robin Jones Gunn. Well, welcome back to part two. We are in studio. I'm Mary Pero here with Cheryl Broderson. We're talking about Evelyn Richner today. Cheryl's been sharing with us a delightful story about a young woman who was born in 1919. Rural area in Pierce, Minnesota, to a Swedish family. And at 13, she had an encounter with the Lord, got saved, and her entire family got saved. So not much after that, I believe, she really felt this calling to go to the mission field, but very specifically to the Andes mountain range in Ecuador. And so thus far, we've seen her go through some trials here in the States to get her education and to get all the things met. She's had a few setbacks. She went to the Texas-Mexico border where she was just trying to serve the Lord until he called her, and she's just gotten the letter and headed off to Ecuador where we left off at the last episode. So she's had a few, an introduction to Ecuador. She's learned Spanish. She's fluent. She's been calling the children to
services.
With her flannel graph.
I mean, she's really a jack of all trades. When you consider she can do this flannel graph, she can teach children. She went there to serve. And so whatever they assign her, she did. In her first year, they gave her six different assignments.
Wow.
And of course, one of them was living with Miss Robles, who lived in...
which was an assignment of its own.
Right, Guayaquil. I don't think I mentioned this, that, she took the boat. It was 10 days to get down to Ecuador, but it was like another day or two on another boat to get into the interior of Ecuador, which was where Guayaquil was.
Okay.
But all this time that she's doing all this ministry, whatever is necessary. She's preparing to go into the Andes and minister into these remote villages. And she was really excited about that. But the opportunity hadn't presented itself. But yet these different assignments had. One assignment that she had that first year was to cover for any of the missionaries who were going on furlough. So they would send her to these different places. And one of the places she went was really close to the Andes. Like, she's getting closer, right? And it was a mission house. And so she stayed in this one room. And she said that she didn't mind the dust, the ants, the salamanders. That was no problem. But what really was hard for her was the tarantulas.
Oh, my.
That were everywhere. And they were told, yes, they could kill you. And yes, they have a terrible bite, but as long as you are nice to them, they'll be nice to you. So she's like kind of going in the room like, nice tarantula, I'm nice, you're nice. And she said she never quite got accustomed to sharing her room or her quarters with the ever-present tarantulas. While serving in Guayaquil, and this is going to become important later on as we get more into Evelyn's story, a handsome Ecuadorian fell madly in love with Evelyn. Though Evelyn told him no and repulsed all his advances, he was relentless. He just wouldn't leave her alone. He was courting her. He would leave her flowers. There were always love notes. He'd follow her. Finally, she asked one of the older and married missionary men to step in to help her. So this older missionary, Paul Young, who was a pastor, stepped in and told Pascual, which was the suitor's name, to stop it. Well, Pascual was so angry, he ceased his advancement, but he began to threaten the whole CMA missionary station and just said, he slandered, he told the people, terrible lies about them, all because, Evelyn had said no. During her second year, Evelyn was finally able to go to the unreached areas of the Andes. She would also, because remember, she's a nurse, she would set up medical clinics or lead a children's outreach or sometimes both. So, like I said, she's a jack of all trades. She's a musician. She can teach. She does the flannel graph. She loves to evangelize. And she does medical clinics. She was often doing surgeries.
That's incredible.
She was having to stitch people up. And one of the things that really discouraged her was the craziness of their superstitions. Sometimes because of their superstition, they wouldn't seek the right medical treatment or they would just have these remedies that only made the situation worse, even causing death. But one of the things like that they would do for a child that had like a diaper rash is they would heat up a hot brick and put the child on that hot brick, causing, third degree burns.
Oh, my.
And she'd have to treat all of that. But she did it with really a great nature, a great attitude. Interestingly enough, she learned the Quechua language. But even this was hard because when the people would explain what they had, their explanations were so primitive, you know, bitten by bug with long body. And she's like, okay, what's the bug with a long body? You know, just trying to figure out what they're saying.
Right.
The Quechua language is actually pretty simple. In fact, she had one woman who got saved. Her name was Mama Manuel. This woman was amazing. She had been a witch doctor. She had been this terrible person. And she had a daughter that died. And she had tried all the witchcraft and everything, and nothing worked. And she fell into a depression and couldn't get out of it. And her son said, you need to see these missionaries. You need to see these missionaries. And when she met the missionary, she also met Jesus Christ. And from that moment on, she turned into this incredible support and prayer warrior and evangelist. But Evelyn loved to work with Mama Manuel a lot. And I don't know why I said that, because it's not in my notes, but I just thought that was interesting.
Well, I'm sure it was really helpful as well. Like, medicine everywhere is going to be different. How we treat these different bug bites. If we don't have all those bugs in the States, we didn't learn about all the different ways to treat it. And I bet Mama
Manuel
probably had a lot of
information.
Lot of information.
And she could work with the kids, and she kind of bridged the gap. Evelyn was always enthusiastic and undaunted by whatever task was before her. She often had to ride horses and donkeys up precarious mountain trails that were only inches wide in places, with sharp cliffs dropping to the right of her. And she confessed one time that sometimes she just held the horn of the saddle, closed her eyes when it got really scary, and just prayed and waited for like 30 minutes when she knew it was safe to open her eyes and they had gone through. And she was just always struck by how sure-footed the little donkeys and the horses were traveling those narrow trails. Evelyn loved to host people at whatever place she was staying. She was famous, as I mentioned before, for her rhubarb pie and for her homemade cinnamon rolls. She loved entertaining, and she did not shirk away from eating the fare of the common people. Whatever they were eating, she ate, whether it was guinea pig or roasted ants.
I love that.
She shared in all of that. Evelyn had a great sense of humor and never took herself too seriously. Most of the time, she lived without the luxuries of electricity, running water, and toilets. I mean, she was there to serve, and she didn't care about the conditions. She didn't mind the sacrifice. She loved the people of Ecuador, even with all their superstitions, fears, and failings. Now, the greatest obstacles Evelyn faced were the thieves, the treacherous roads, the alcohol abuse of the people, the aggression of the crowds who have been told terrible lies about the missionaries, and the dangerous superstitions and remedies the people had, as well as the fear the people had of the missionaries. So these are the obstacles, and they were really strong. I mean, she served and served and served, and they saw very little movement, you know, very little breakthrough. When she would go up to these mountains, at times the village would meet her with their machetes, refusing them entrance. And it was because they would have been told by the Catholic priest, who were more like witch doctors than true Catholic priest. And they practiced sorcery and all sorts of things. But they would have been told by the people that the missionaries had come to eat their children. I mean, it's terrible lies. So you can see these villagers, because they're ignorant, they're coming out with machetes like, no, you're not going to terrorize. Or the priest would tell them, your crops will fail if they come. They'll bring a curse to the land. So these people were terrified. And she talks, there's a couple stories in the book about being confronted by men with machetes and not knowing what to do. Should they go forward? Should they not? And she's a woman, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And usually she's traveling with other women and just very few men. And if they are traveling with men, they're older. And without fail, the Lord came through. There would be all of a sudden a government official that just happened to be in town that would say, no, Ecuador guarantees the rights of all religious organizations to evangelize and to be here. Or it would be a police officer that happened to be sympathetic to the missionaries. I mean, it was amazing how the Lord came through over and over again. Another threat were the thieves. They not only broke in and stole, I mean, they were audacious in how they broke in. I mean, they would just make holes in the walls of the houses and they would crawl through and steal whatever they possibly could. And often they would kill. If they found anyone in the house, they would just simply kill them. And more than one missionary was killed by thieves.
Oh, my.
One night, alone in this mission house in a rural area, Evelyn heard thieves breaking in. When she saw them from a window, they began to pelt the window with rocks and mud and yell at her. Then they started banging down the door. Evelyn knew if they came in, she'd be at their mercy. She had no idea what she should do. Again, she has no telephone, no means of communication. But the Spirit all of a sudden prompted her to go up to the spire of this little mission house and begin to ring the bell as loudly as she could. So she did. She got up to there and she began to ring the bell. Well, the bell summoned all the people, including the police, and they all came running to the mission house.
Wow.
And the thieves got so scared, they went running away. And so that was just one of the many ways that the Lord saved her. And he did. She suffered no injury the whole time she was there. The Lord was always with her. At one point, she was driving and her car overturned. And she undid her seatbelt and wriggled out the window.
Oh, my.
Yeah. And realized that it was hanging precariously on the side of a cliff. I mean, just God sparing her over and over again. Another time she was on a bus, a public bus, going up the hills. And there's a picture in the book of these buses because they have all these huge sacks on top of the bus that look like they're going to topple over the bus. And every bus ride, you know, you were riding with dogs, chickens, guinea pigs, and whatever other animals that people happen to have, goats. And it was just an adventure. And she thought it was hilarious. But one time the bus actually crashed and careened down a cliff, and she had just traded places. The man next to her asked if he could trade places with her. And so she did because he wanted her seat. He died.
Oh,
and she lived.
Goodness.
So she had all these incidents where she knew that the Lord was with her, just preserving her miraculously. Now, Evelyn wrote a letter describing the issues with her Toyota Jeep. The mileage gauge is stuck at 126,999 miles. The gas gauge has never worked and sits on empty all the time. So right now, I don't know how many miles I have driven nor how much gas is in the tank. Because another thing that she did is she drove people everywhere they wanted to be. The windshield wipers have always been temperamental and always give trouble in a rainstorm. You may see me with a window open trying to get the wipers moving with a stick, or you might see me pulled off the road to try to get them started from the side where they're stopped. So she's, this is what she's writing to them.
It sounds a lot like my first car.
Yeah.
I get it.
She's requesting a new vehicle. I have always had trouble getting the Toyota into reverse, but since Dick Fragar worked on it some time ago, I have less trouble. Trouble, yes, but more often than not, I can get it into reverse. The brakes? Oh, the brakes. On my way to Salaska, nothing happened the first time I pressed down on the brakes.
Oh, no.
That was scary. What an understatement. That was scary. However, I found out that by hitting them twice, they would catch. I stopped at Dick's and he tightened them up. The carburetor is going bad, and three times I got stalled. Once it was on the back road in Indian Territory. Another time it was around Lake San Pablo in Imbabura. Again, it was on my way to Ambedar. The oil gauge flickers almost constantly. It gave me quite a scare. However, that was faulty wiring, and it has been taken care of for the moment. The wiring to the starter gives trouble now and then. It is hard to get at it. I almost need to be in work clothes to fix it. I know the place to reconnect it on the lower part of the engine. The motor runs well, but does not have much pickup, and I have to take many of the hills in low gear. The Toyota is very hard riding. It shakes you like a bowl full of jelly. Because of the open back, when it rains, I have to cover things and people with a large plastic sheet. I don't want to complain, but it would surely be a treat to have a Suburban or a van. It would make it a lot easier to itinerate to such places as Cachahola, Paguchi, and Kichichichi. Morachos and many other places in the province. And these are all mountain towns that she's traveling on. And enough of that. Perhaps the Lord has something else in store for me. It's of note that Evelyn drove to all those locations in the Andes through riverbeds, along railroad tracks, often through trails and unpaved roads, transporting at any given time a projector, several musical instruments, bedding, and clothing for 13 people, as well as 13 people.
It's no wonder her car didn't work.
Yeah, exactly. Imagine that. I mean, can you imagine? I mean, those people had to be just crammed into this Toyota Jeep because, you know, I mean, at best it would seat maybe, what, 9? And they're all in there, all 13. Another issue that she struggled with was resistance from the people. As I mentioned before, corrupt Catholic priests did not want the people hearing the word of God. It kind of reminded me of Martin Luther and his struggle, because those Catholic priests realized that the people, if they got the Bible, would realize that the Catholic priests weren't following the Bible, that they were, you know, doing their own religion and not the Jesus story.
Mm.
And, you know, the same thing happened before Henry VIII, and this is a little known thing, in England, the monks were totally corrupt. They would steal from people. They would threaten people. They were like a gang, a dangerous gang of people. You know, maybe what Henry VIII destroying all the monasteries and, you know, the abbots was not the best move or the way to handle it. But things have become corrupt, and that's one of the reasons why the Catholic Church was so against the translation of the Bible into the common language.
Mm.
Because people, once they understood, and that's what these priests, they did not want the people knowing what the Word of God said, because they weren't following it. They were more like witch doctors. In fact, they would, you could go to the Catholic Church, and for a price, you could put a curse on anybody that you wanted to, for a price, a certain amount of money, you could put a curse on somebody, like voodoo. And then the person who was cursed could pay even more and go to the Catholic Church and have the curse removed. So there are all these like corrupt practices. And again, as Evelyn would enter these villages to do medical work and evangelize, sometimes on the back of a horse and sometimes on in the Toyota Jeep, they would often be rebuffed. The Toyota Jeep would have rocks and mud pelted at it. People would stand in front of it. Interesting, at one point, she's returning to that mission house where the thieves were, and she's in the Toyota Jeep. And this time, it's surrounded by all these drunk men that are demanding money and saying that they're going to overturn her van and they're going to kill her. Remember, she's 5 feet tall.
Mm-hmm.
If she doesn't give them money so they can go buy more liquor. And again, liquor was also an issue with these people because what would happen is, because the people were in such ignorance, the men would get drunk and they would just lay drunk, and the women would watch over them while they were drunk to make sure that the thieves did not steal from them or they didn't get beaten up. And then as soon as the men got sober, then it was the wives' turn to get drunk, and they would get drunk and stoned. And then the husbands would watch over their wives to make sure that they were not abused by another man and that nothing was stolen. Mm. So this was just common. Mm. It was very common to see like the women in a town all drunk.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next day, the men in the town all drunk. It was just the way the people lived.
Mm.
And then with the children just running free. So you can see why evangelizing the children was so, so important. The people themselves, having been lied to, often refused to let Evelyn and the others into their houses. They were just so afraid of the recriminations from the church and what would happen to them, because it was not uncommon for somebody who would let the missionaries in then to have their house burned down.
Mm.
So, I mean, this is a hard place to minister. It was only out of desperation that they would bring the very sick children or family members to the medical clinics. I mean, they were afraid and because of their ignorance and because of what they had been told. A breakthrough came when Evelyn chose to dress and walk like the people she ministered to, which is a lot like Hudson Taylor. She felt like, you know what, part of the problem is I look too different from them. And I need them to trust me. So I need to, again, eat what they eat.
Yeah, become
live
one
like
of them.
They did. Exactly.
Yes. Uh-huh.
You know, at one point she wanted to go stay with an Ecuadorian family and sleep on the floor. And her friend Marion said, no, you're not going to do that. You know, there you have to keep some distance as a believer. A second breakthrough came when she recorded songs in the Quechua language and put them on a vinyl record along with an explanation and an invitation to the gospel.
Beautiful.
And so she did this. And so what she would do is she would take a phonograph every place she went with a record and said, would say to somebody, you want to see something interesting? And she would put the record on it. And of course, she had to turn it the whole time. There's no electricity.
Yeah.
So she's turning it and they're hearing these songs in their own language. And then they're hearing a message in their own language about the gospel. And that would draw a crowd.
Wow.
And people would invite her into the house just to see that record player. And it became this amazing evangelical breakthrough.
Mm.
At the same time, they were able, radio stations started popping up. And so they were able to get an hour a day to minister to the people. Well, that hour a day where they're preaching the gospel became so popular, it turned into 8 hours a day. So just amazing. God began to do breakthroughs, and Evelyn was able to help build three churches in the Andes Mountains. One day, Paul Young, remember the man who had rebuffed Pasquale and told him to stop it, came to her house with a box of chocolates. Now, he had been a widow for 6 years, and he asked Evelyn to marry him. Well, Evelyn took the matter to prayer because Paul was 25 years older than she was. But she felt like, yes, and she loved him, and that was what she wanted to do. So they flew to the States and made all the preparations for the wedding. The night before the wedding, Paul was driving Evelyn home when all of a sudden he stopped the car. Looking over, Evelyn noticed that he was rigid and uncommunicative. Evelyn got help for Paul, and he was rushed to the hospital, and it was found out that he suffered a massive stroke from which he never recovered.
Oh, my.
Evelyn stayed for a time and prayed. Was she supposed to stay there and nurse him? Because he was now in almost a vegetative state. But in the end, Paul himself encouraged her to return to her beloved Ecuador. She did, and Paul died shortly afterwards.
Mm.
But before Paul died, he and Evelyn had been working hard at translating the New Testament into the Quechua language. And on June 5th, 1977, bound copies of the New Testament in Quechua language arrived. So after his death, these Bibles that he had worked so hard on arrived bound and everything, and they were like an instant success. All the people wanted them.
Beautiful.
And this is what really brought the breakthrough. It was the Bibles, it was the recordings, it was the radio station, and all of a sudden the people began to open up and the churches begin to grow.
And also probably all those years of just prayer and perseverance. It reminds me of the advice she got in the beginning.
Yes.
It's seemingly so harsh. Just keep working at it until you see success, which almost feels backwards. Like, no, we need to trust the Lord for that. But it was this idea of perseverance.
It's not like my word, like a hammer, says the Lord, that breaks the rocks into pieces. Mm. And when I was reading that in Jeremiah, one of the things that happened to me is a rock is not broken with the first blow of a hammer.
No.
It takes chiseling and lots of blows of the hammer. And I think that's exactly what you're saying.
Yes.
So Evelyn served until her retirement in her late 60s. So they had mandatory retirement at 70. Even before that, she returned to Minnesota, but visited Ecuador more than once. And every time she visited, she was astounded to see the growth, spiritual growth in the people, astounded to see how many more churches there were, and just the openness to the gospel. She died at 90 years old. You know, we read about these missionaries and they live these just hard, austere lives. And then they go on to live 90 years. And she died surrounded by her nieces and nephews. And she was greatly beloved. You know, in the back of the book, they have all these comments from other missionaries about what a delight she was, and how she just brought happiness and joy every place she went. And again, in the book is her recipe for her famous rhubarb pie, because that was really popular with all the missionaries. And, you know, she was able to make it. Her crust was flour and lard. I was looking at it going, okay.
Yeah.
You know, that she'd press out, but everybody, you know, just talked about how delicious that pie was. And she always tried to have one on hand for if anyone dropped by.
And sometimes it's not just the recipe, it's the heart behind
it
the
is
person
the heart.
Making
it, is.
It.
In fact, it didn't even have that much sugar, and rhubarb's a little bit sour, and
yes,
yet everybody loved it. So that was Evelyn Richner. And I know she's one of the people in heaven that I can't wait to meet. Don't we have just so many people we want to meet in heaven?
Yes.
Now,
thank you for listening to Women Worth Knowing with Cheryl Broderson and Robin Jones Gunn. For more information on Cheryl, visit CherylBroderson.com or follow her on Instagram or Facebook. For more information on Robin, visit RobinGunn.com or follow her on Instagram or Facebook. Join us each week for a lively conversation as we explore the lives of well-known and not-so-well-known historical and contemporary Christian women. We hope you've enjoyed today's episode. Make sure you rate us on your podcast app, subscribe, and share it with a friend. Thank you again for listening to Women Worth Knowing with Cheryl Broderson and Robin Jones Gunn.